The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope. They're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. Well, today on Where We Worship, we feature a significant institution in the Diocese of Cleveland, which has been forming men to serve in the Catholic priesthood. Well, one for more than 70 years, or nearly that much, Borromeo Seminary, founded in 1954 by the diocese great builder, Archbishop Edward F. Hoban. And quoting from the Borromeo website, for almost 40 years, Borromeo was known as Borromeo College of Ohio, a fully accredited liberal arts college where hundreds of men received their Bachelor of Arts degree. Many then matriculated to St. Mary Seminary, the Graduate School of Theology, and ordination then ensued. Well, today Borromeo has collaborated with John Carroll University, where the undergraduate men receive their degrees. And we'll go on to talk about that. This is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship, the rector of Borromeo and St. Mary Seminaries, Father Andrew Turner, and the vice rector of St. Mary Seminary, Father Joseph Koopman. And welcome you both. And let me start off first, Father Andy. There is a rich history to Borromeo. What would have prompted Archbishop Hoban to establish the what we call the Minor Seminary back in 1954?
It's a joy to be with you, Bob. And of course, as you think about the rich history of our seminary formation in Cleveland, yes, Borromeo Seminary was founded in the 50s. But before that, our major seminary, St. Mary Seminary, began at the very beginning of our diocese back in 1848. So it has a 175-year history. And so as the seminary formation went along, there was a recognition, especially after the Second World War, to continue to provide education and intellectual formation for the priests, recognition that we had a large number of men coming to the seminary to study, and to be able to form them at an earlier age would be an ideal situation. And so I think in Archbishop Hoban's wisdom, as he was the builder bishop, establishing parishes all around the Diocese of Cleveland, he recognized he also needed to have priests to serve those parishes. And so he expanded the forming of priests into both a college and then eventually a high school, and of course, which then continued on with our graduate program at St. Mary Seminary. So all of that fits together in this beautiful, beautiful picture of forming priests for the service of the Diocese of Cleveland.
It is interesting, as you said, Father, began even at the high school level, as well as then undergraduate school and then on to the Graduate School of Theology. In that, there's been quite an evolution of what's transpired. And if I'm correct, even in that early undergraduate school, it was a pretty restrictive place, almost, I'll say almost like a monastery. A young man there, really, even at break times, you know, from classes and during what we would have called spring break and so forth, they were pretty much restricted to the seminary, correct? No outside influence.
Yeah, many of our listeners would probably be more familiar with, if they knew someone that went off to study for the priesthood, it most likely meant that they would not see them for several years. They would kind of disappear and then suddenly come back as a priest. But that, of course, is not the case anymore. The men studying in the seminary now function in an an open campus environment, that while there are activities and events that they have required to be participating in, they are able to come and go outside of their regularly scheduled classes and formation programs to visit home, to visit their parish, to participate in diocesan activities, to do pilgrimages and mission trips and all of the things that are important for their formation. But you're exactly right. There was a time that was more of a monastic style of formation. Remember, priestly formation, of course, going back to the very beginning, was oftentimes done in the accompaniment, where a young man would accompany a priest and learn from him. In the 1500s, with St. Charles Borromeo establishing the first official, what we understand now to be seminaries, it was based upon a more of a monastic model. And so that continued on for a long time after that.
It surely did. Father Joe, St. Mary Seminary and the Graduate School of Theology, as we mentioned, it goes back 175 years, but that's evolved too into how it performs as a model today. Can you tell us?
Sure, yeah. It had very humble beginnings. Our first bishop, Amadeus Rapp, actually, as soon as the diocese was formed, saw the importance of forming local priests to serve. We were a missionary territory prior. So Amadeus Rapp began our seminary 175 years ago, and it was where he lived, which was on the banks of the Flats. It no longer exists now. I guess you can find the location. It's across from, I think, a couple bars down in the Flats right now.
Right.
But it began very humble, like his barn, his simple rectory. And then it was originally called St. Francis de Sales Seminary in its first year, but then was immediately named St. Mary Seminary. And it's gone through, obviously moved out of Bishop Amadeus's Rapp place to other locations. A famous one for many years that we still have great memories of is 1923, I think, on Anzell Road,
right,
close to the Cleveland Art Museum, was another St. Mary's. That was a beautiful building. But Bishop Pilla and those that were entrusted with the formation of priests decided in the 80s and 90s to consider a different way and maybe different models of formation. And so because of vocations kind of lowering in number, the decision was made to move St. Mary's Seminary to the location where Borromeo is. So just to be clear, we're two separate seminaries. St. Mary's began, again, 175 years ago, Borromeo in 1954, but we reside now in the same location in Wycliffe, Ohio. So, similar to what Father Andy said, the monastic tone of the seminary, just like Borromeo, it was the same case with St. Mary's. And so we've evolved and changed a lot over the years.
Well, very good. The seminary now trains young men not only from the Cleveland Diocese, but it expands, from where else do we get the young men? What other dioceses and places?
Yeah, primarily, of course, we are in service of the Diocese of Cleveland, and we currently have 50 men studying at the seminary for the Diocese of Cleveland, but we also have other men studying at the seminary. And so, as you mentioned, we have a wonderful collaboration with the Diocese of Youngstown with, again, maybe our listeners would recall, Youngstown and Cleveland actually were part of the same diocese for a long period of time. So we have a rich history together, which you're hearing that phrase several times. There's a beautiful history of formation of priests in Northeastern Ohio and in Cleveland. So Diocese of Youngstown would be one. In addition to supporting the Archdiocese of Daegu, South Korea, we have many people from Korea here in the Cleveland area. And several decades ago, a partnership was formed with the Archdiocese where they are typically sending one or two seminarians to study at our seminary, then to serve in the Diocese of Cleveland for a period of time, and then to return to the Archdiocese of Daegu, South Korea, for their continued ministry and study, of course, now having a cultural understanding of America and of the English language. We also have religious orders that study with us, the Capuchin Franciscans of the province of St. Augustine, which is headquartered in Pittsburgh, in addition to other orders that have come in and out at different times, the St. Joseph Fathers, the Mercedarians, and the Blessed Sacrament Fathers as well.
Well, very good. When we return, Borromeo Seminary and a new program for priestly formation on Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? All right, before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesik's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues with Father Andy Turner, Rector of Borromeo and St. Mary Seminary, and Vice Rector of St. Mary Seminary, Father Joseph Koopman, we'll turn to Father Turner first. I understand that you're new to the position as rector. And let me ask, since the mid-50s, when Borromeo was established, as we talked about, it really has evolved. I believe at one time it even had the high school, I think you referenced, for training seminarians?
Yeah, we have a very rich history here in Cleveland of seminary formation. And at that time, again, it was very common for Catholic schools to produce young men that were interested in the priesthood, Catholic elementary schools. And so it was natural at that time to consider going to a Catholic high school seminary where the focus would be on the initial preparation for priesthood. I think, of course, as we've come to understand affective development and maturity, and especially over the last several decades, that seminary closed down in the 70s, but the high school seminary. But of course, our college and our major seminary, the graduate seminary, have continued. But the mission has always been the same: good, healthy, holy priests for service of the church and especially the Diocese of Cleveland.
Surely. Now, I understand you're introducing a new curriculum for priestly formation. How did that come about, and what does that entail?
Sure. So forming priests, of course, is not something that is invented in every diocese nor by every seminary. The church gives us a model, and that model is based upon a lot of the rich history and development of the church, recognizing that we've been forming priests since the very beginning, men to serve our church, to celebrate the sacraments, to be there in the midst of our needs. And so Cleveland takes that very seriously, and we have been the beneficiary of thousands of priests, of course, that have served the diocese over the 175 some years that we have been a diocese. But now we are entering into a new time, an opportunity for us to once again, as we've done at different times throughout our history, to reflect upon what is needed today for the young men to be able to be formed to be good, healthy, holy shepherds of our people. Parish life is changing, and we know that. There's a lot of questions about sustainability of some of our churches, and this is all across the globe. We know that, not just here in Cleveland. And so we need to make sure that we have priests that are prepared to answer and to collaborate with our parishioners to answer the questions that are most needed. And so this new formation program is really looking at creating a good, strong foundation of prayer, of worship and Eucharist, and spiritual life, supporting that with good intellection, with good academic study. The academic life is very, very important. Of course, that sense of the spiritual life, knowing the saints, knowing types and forms of prayer, being able to pray the Mass, and also, of course, service especially to the poor. Our men go out and serve in communities. They care for the poor and the needy, the young and the old, in many different contexts, in hospitals and schools and jails, hospices and nursing homes. So all of that is part of the new program. But as I said, some things have not changed. That importance of making sure that we have good, healthy, holy priests, that has always been our goal.
Tell me, Father, and it sounds there, just as you described it, there's almost a broader socialization process coming into play here for the priests. And I don't know, Father Koopman, if you see that coming into this new priestly formation, where they're really interacting with the real world, if you will, that type of thing.
Sure, yeah. You know, in terms of interaction with the real world, I think that has been something that's been present for decades. But in particular, in terms of the new priestly formation program, and Father Turner was talking more generals,
right,
is something that the Holy Father's asked all of us, all dioceses to do and all seminaries, is to create a year, what's called a propaedeutic year, or a year of preparation. But when you're talking about socialization, or again, bringing men to that maturity, this is the church reading the signs of the times, as Father Turner mentioned. Where young men are at now is a lot different where they were before. And just to have a whole year where it's really dedicated to more the spiritual, but also the human formation, not much heavy the whole year on the academic, even though there's an academic component, they'll have plenty enough time in the following years to be able to embrace studies. But this year is one in which they really devote to prayer, living in communion, time where, again, for formation, retreats, and Father Turner certainly is more of an expert than I am in all of this, really a year where they can really, as a group, grow together in community, but really grow in those qualities of the human formation, that maturity that's necessary. One of the more challenging ones when I tell people and friends and family about this propedeutic is they're required, all the guys, to do a technology fast. That's no iPhones, no phones, no computer.
Oh, my goodness.
No,
yeah.
for a whole year.
For an entire year?
Yeah, they'll have one day a week where they can use their device. But as a way of, again, pulling away from a noisy society and one that's distracted, to try to establish a sense of peace, silence, but also maturity in the lives of our young men.
Does that year incorporate some volunteerism or to extend themselves into a more, I don't want to say social situation, but one of volunteer and prayerful element?
Yeah, the apostolic work is an essential piece of that beginning year. So what Father Joe is talking about in that propedeutic year, where you're stepping away from the culture in terms of the things that distract us, that's all of the technology, and really immersing yourselves in the lives of people. So, you know, that's where our priests are supposed to be. They're walking amongst the people, living, you know, amongst and within their lives there, and serving them according to the needs of those that they are, of the area that they're called to serve. So yeah, that apostolic work, pastoral service, the shepherding role, all of that is highly emphasized, especially in that year of technology fast and stepping away so that we can be more present to people, really listening to people without distraction.
Are they still residing at the seminary at that time, or do they actually get assigned anywhere?
Yeah, actually, it's a whole separate place. This is what the church really envisions as an ideal. Some seminaries are considering parts of the seminary. They're sequestered off. For our diocese, we're really blessed to be able to have a whole separate location. And part of the living together is also learning how to take care of a house. And we didn't want to choose a house that was really well put together. We wanted one where guys have to work on changing up the screens, working on a little plumbing, electricity. I mean, not too heavy. But again, for them just to be able to live in the world in a human way, but also to be away from the seminary so they can form their own community, which is the most important. So
that's interesting.
So a little hard work.
They have to shovel the driveway or cut the lawn?
Absolutely. So cooking, cleaning.
Wow.
Yeah, all those things.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So they'll live in community. Mm-hmm. Roughly how many do you put together? Would it be about three or four?
No.
Men or
maybe
more?
Yeah, 8, 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, that many. Wow. Yeah. So. Well, that's pretty dynamic, though, it sounds to me. Yeah. When we return, Borromeo Seminary, where priestly formation begins, on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship, featuring Borromeo Seminary, celebrating its 70th anniversary coming up soon here in the Diocese of Cleveland on AM 1260, The Rock. And my guests are the new rector of Borromeo and St. Mary's Seminaries, Father Andy Turner, and vice rector of St. Mary's Seminary and Graduate School of Theology, Father Joe Koopman. Father Turner, in our current anti-religion culture, where does the seminary even begin to introduce young men to the idea of the priestly vocation? How do you reach them?
One of the most important people in the lives of many of our seminarians are the seminarian's own parents. And I think that's really one of the challenges we face as a church today, that as the family is attacked, and as we see challenges in family life, so too we are going to see challenges in the priesthood, because the seeds of the priesthood are always planted in the love of a husband and wife, and as they develop their family life together. And as the family goes, so too will the church go. We know that. And so the strong are our families are, and where we see parishes with a lot of priestly vocations, so often there is prayer for priests, there's prayer for families. That's so important, and we are praying for our families every single day at the seminary. That's such a key piece of who we are as a seminary, and recognizing the family backgrounds that we have and being able to understand and accept the challenges that come with all of that. For sure, our seminarians don't come from perfect families, and no priest does, but being able to understand, to be able to pray for our families, and to be able to accept where we've come from and how God has worked through our family is really key to the priesthood.
Very good. Father Koopman, What other major challenges do you believe? Now, you're dealing with these seminarians in the graduate school of theology and at that level. What other major challenges are you finding them having to face that you have to deal with?
Yeah, certainly living in a world where, you know, just 30 or 40 years ago, the culture in many ways supported us as Catholics, the structures of our culture, even in a secular way. In terms of you're talking now, the guys after the Borromeo College program entering at St. Mary's, I think all the guys in general are facing a culture that's becoming more and more against them and against our faith. But that also is a challenge for us to really embrace our Holy Father's call to be missionary disciples. And so these men who are in our seminary, they're great men. I mean, they're fellow students. They went to high school with or college with, have chosen different paths. Some are good. But for these guys, especially our young guys, 18, to see them in chapel at 7 in the morning to do morning prayer and how they're dedicated to discipleship. They know how serious it will be to be a witness of Jesus in the midst of the world. And they are in the midst of the world. That's part of their training. It's not, as you said, the old days where they were sequestered in monastery walls. But I think that these are the challenges, that we're facing a culture that's more against Christianity. But that's a great call that we have to be able to respond with real zeal, to know our faith. So again, to know the faith is important, but also to have great hearts close to the Father and really be disciples that take seriously sharing that message. So
I do have to ask this question. In light of the sexual abuse, clergy sexual abuse crisis and so forth that we've gone through for the last 20 years now, how are you able, Father Turner and Father Koopme, how are you able to deal with that, particularly with your seminarians that are coming in, as well as in general, to assure them that this priestly vocation is really, you know, a work of God?
Yeah, of course, the actions of priests in the past, in terms of what you're talking about, is a grave sadness for our church, and it's something that we continue, you know, to pray and make reparation for, because that is a great sadness. But we also recognize that the Lord is calling young men now to healthy and holy priesthood, and we hope that our seminary has learned from some of the choices and the actions and just the awareness of psychology and affective maturity. Social sciences have been a great support to us in being able to reflect upon some of the things that led some of those priests to the choices that they made. So we've learned a lot from all of that, and we're very open about talking about sexuality and healthy psychology and socialization and making sure that healthy boundaries are in all of our men. They all go through, of course, all of the prescribed virtus training and the pieces that have been put in place by our bishops, as well as they are assessed psychologically throughout their entire process, so that people, men and women, outside of the seminary are talking with the men, being able to assess their maturity and their growth and their psychology, and then giving that information to the bishop so that he can make the best decisions he can make in terms of calling men forward to priesthood.
Very good. There was a program that I neglected to ask you about during the development stages, Tole Lege. What's that about?
Yeah, sure. Actually, this is actually a newer program. It began in 2012 with one of our professors at Borromeo, Father Damien Ferens, who's now Vicar of Evangelization for the diocese. But he came up with the idea of opening the seminary up during the summers for 2 weeks. So there's 2 one-week sessions for kids in high school in the local area who are juniors going their senior year. It's time to learn. There's a whole hour and a half of learning philosophy every morning, an hour and a half of theology, but also to pray together, holy hour, rosary, mass, also fun activities, cultural activities, whether it's gardening games or heading to the art museum or touring churches, but really kind of a discipleship camp, but also one that was focused on, again, forming young people to really, again, know the faith a little bit better. I've actually had the honor of teaching all the years, so for 12 years, being part of it. And it's, again, an invitation for them to open their hearts to the Father's call to them. So there have been vocations coming out in terms of marriage, but we've also had priestly and religious vocations that have come out of it. It's not just if you're thinking of being a priest or a sister, you should be part of it. Any teen is invited to be part of it. But again, just to open their hearts. So we actually have a few of our newly ordained priests or recently ordained went through Tole Lege. And I think we had our first marriage, I think, of a couple that met on Tole Lege, which is also neat. So yeah, and you can find that online also, Tole Lege Camp. Or again, just to contact the diocese in terms of what the program looks like. It's usually held at the end of June.
And that's T-O-L-L-E.
L-E-G-E.
L-E-G-E, got
which
it.
Comes from St. Augustine's Take Up and Read, words he heard. As part of his conversion.
Surely. Yeah, so. If someone listening would like to learn more about Borromeo St. Mary's Seminaries, what's their best means to do that?
Well, I first want to just extend an invitation to anyone listening that would like to come and see the seminary. Every Sunday, we have Mass at 10 o'clock. So we welcome guests and visitors to come and join us for that. It's at Sacred Heart Chapel on the grounds of the Center for Pastoral Leadership, which is where Borromeo and St. Mary's Seminary reside. So that would be the first thing, is just come and see. I mean, I think one of the best ways to come to know a program. But if you're not able to come out to the seminary, you can always look us up on the website, both Borromeo Seminary, borromeoseminary.org, and stmarysseminary.edu are both websites. And so you can just search and find those websites and see pictures and information. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And CLE Priesthood is another way to follow on Instagram and Twitter and all of the social media sites. So those would be just some different ways of finding out. But I really encourage people, come and see, and of course, pray. Pray for our young men that are studying for the priesthood, for our young ladies and young men that are discerning their call, of course, and are maybe taking classes at Borromeo and St. Mary Seminary, and for all ages of people that are exploring discipleship and God's call in their life at the seminary.
You've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring Borromeo and St. Mary's Seminaries of the Diocese of Cleveland. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.